losing sight. Let's go to war. Let's go to war!
Welcome to Talking Giants, presented by DraftKings. I'm your host, Bobby Skinner, here with my co-host, Justin Penick, and we have our Giants-Washington preview. Thursday Night Football, Week 2, I'll be honest, it doesn't feel right. Like, it feels like a middle of the season, you know, the season gets rolling type thing. But it's like, we're still, Week 1 is a big week, and now we're on the Thursday Night Football. Justin, how are you?
Bobby Skinner, I love kind of getting it out of the way. I love how we started 0-1, so now it's going to be quick. We're going to rip the Band-Aid off no matter what. We win this Thursday. We win today. We're releasing an episode on game day, which is kind of fun. We win today, and we rip the Band-Aid off, and we're 1-1, or we rip the Band-Aid off, and we're 0-2, and then we're really, really sad again, which I hope does not happen. Bobby Skinner, how are you?
I'm good. And we're gonna give our takes on it, and then because it's a divisional rival, we don't have an interview, but we will have our fantasy draft.
Did we just get an email?
Picks against the spread and Giants Factor.
Did we just get an email at the same time from Reddit?
No. Anyways, but I got it from a Patreon user. And speaking of Patreon users, this episode brought to you by a lot of people. We got James Britton, who his name isn't spelled like the country, or Zach Britton. We got Christina and Chris Bauer. Our backup tight end in college name was Tim Bauer. How about that? Brett D. Brett D's nuts. Ham Sandwich, which is not his real name, I'm going to assume. Matt Steele, like the chainsaw brand. Ryan Falduto, that's Italian. Italian. Nick Bongiorni. I mean, that almost is so Italian, it seems fake. Joseph McWade, which reminds me of Tevin Wade more than it does Dwayne Wade, which is that's how you know the New York Giants have broken your brain, that when you see Wade, you think of him instead of Dwayne. We got Karen Chopra, and then Jardel Alves of Brazil. Justin, who are all these multicultured people?
All these wonderful people went to patreon.com/talkinggiants, and for $2 a month, and then there's some other tiers if you want to extra support us, but $2 a month, you get to hang out with us as we record the shows live. So Thursday night, tonight, we are going live, probably after midnight, to recap the game. So if you want to experience the fresh emotions of
victory...
Are
you going to the game?
No, I'm not going to the game.
Okay.
I wanted to. I would have had to get a hotel and... I wasn't going to drive home and then record. I wasn't going to, you know, do that, and wasn't going to try and record from the car. So, yeah, I will not be at the game. I'll be doing some videos from home, and we're going to win. I have this good feeling. You know, spoiler alert for the game prediction at the end. I'm feeling really good. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. So experience the emotions of victory with us by hanging out with us. You don't have to wait for the podcast or YouTube video in the morning. And also, Bobby will send you a free magnet. You get some opportunities to win some free shirts with some raffles. Patreon.com/TalkingGiants. Thank you to our patrons. We love you.
All right, let's talk about this Washington game, and we'll start on the Giants' own front with the injury report. Evan Engram's not playing. You know, I don't think we expected him to play. Cam Brown is out. But the big one is Shane Lemieux. Shane Lemieux is out. And we'll talk about how this might, you know, jumble the offensive line a little bit. And here's just what I want to say. I hope that this injury doesn't, like, kind of wreck his season. Because it was very limited. It was less than 20 reps on Sunday. But he looked like a better player. Like, my heart will break if he's done for the season, because he looked like a better player, especially in the past game. He was always a good run blocker, and that's what, you know, I wasn't panicked about Shane Lemieux going into the season. I think he could have definitely upgraded, but I was not panicked about Shane. I was panicked about right tackle, and we're seeing that's rightfully so after week one. But, man, I feel for the guy, because I hope he can get back in there, because he, you know, it's a small sample size, but he looked like a different player.
Yeah, especially pass pro. I mean, he looked like a better player. I think he looked like a new player in pass protection. You know, like you said, he always looked good in as a run blocker. But just the footwork, his choppy feet. He was strong. He was using his hands well. You know, he doesn't have very long arms, but he was still using his hands, and he was using variations of different punches depending on what the moment was. And if it was a quick throw by Jones, whether it was a five-step drop, I mean, he really did look like a different pass blocker. And for me to notice it, you know, Bobby, you're an O-line guy, and you're actively looking out for that kind of stuff. And, you know, I will always kind of, you know, sigh to you on things, but for me to notice it too and to be like, wow, you know, he really made those vast improvements week one. And he was hurt. Out of all the guys that were hurt this summer and basically missed the entire summer, he would have been my least likely choice to look the best out of all those guys, like Rudolph, Barkley, Galladay, et cetera, et cetera, Tony, et cetera, et cetera. But good for him. I really do hope that he does come back strong because his presence of not being here, and depending on what the Giants think of Bredesen, his presence of not being here affects other people, which stinks.
Well, let's talk about what the Giants will do at O-line in the absence of Shane Lemieux. Now, Ben Bredesen played the majority of the game on Sunday. But the beat reporters, when they were at practice the other day, basically every single one hinted at Nick Gates moving to guard. You know, and they're not allowed to tweet out, like, personnel, like, you know, what they see. And I know there's only a certain portion of practice. But that and other things, like, kind of, to me, give me the idea that I think Nick Gates is going to be moving to guard this week. I think they want to see what they have in Billy Price. Maybe they like Billy Price more than Bredesen anyways when they brought him in. Bredesen, I don't think, really did anything to, like, force himself as the starter there. He wasn't bad, but he was, you know, there wasn't really, like, any, like, wow, this is some really good reps from Bredesen. Where when you watch Billy Price, you can see him just move cats in the run game. Now, I worry about him running the offense at center, but we'll see how that works out. But I do think Gates is going to be moving the guard, and they're going to see what Billy Price looks like at center. And if it looks good, I think they'll stick with that throughout the season, and maybe they bench Will for Shane if Shane gets healthy, or even a Bredesen if they want to play Bredesen over Will.
Yeah, this is so wild.
We're going to have a bunch of different O-lines this year. I hate to do that. I was talking to earlier, but I was talking with license plate guy earlier, and he's like we're gonna have like a week nine graphic where it's like this is the first time in this season where the O-line is the same in back-to-back games.
I hope that's not the case, because offensive line continuity is a real thing, and especially when you look at, you know, I can imagine there may be a week where we struggle in pass protection and we're good in the run game, and, you know, last week was a game that we were good in pass pro and we were bad in the run game. You know, so I hope that this unit can get some sort of continuity and they can find some sort of lineup that fits. And what worries me with Billy Price at center, it is those callouts. You know, Washington, this is not the week, in my opinion, to experiment with the different, like, kind of pseudo, you know, play caller at center, the guy that's calling out the protections and stuff like that. I don't think this is the week to do it. You know, you have the interior guys on that Washington front, which we'll talk about. We already know the edge rushers that they have in Sweat and Chase Young. I don't think this is the week to kind of flip things around and, you know, flip things on their head. You know, if they feel that strongly about Price over Bredesen, then sure, I guess. But it makes me nervous that Nick Gates has established himself at center. And I think he can be good at guard, but it's just who are you going to put at center and how is he going to do calling out those protections?
Yeah, my worry isn't Gates at guard. It's like, I hope we're not playing musical chairs with our good player and Nick Gates for players that may not be good. Because if Bredesen starts, I'm not worried about him starting, you know, like from what he showed. You know, and you think about circumstances, guys moving sides and stuff. This is why I hate recording at 6:45, because it's like everyone on my street just starts revving motorcycles.
Hey, it's the end of the day.
Anyways, lost my train of thought. With Gates at guard, Gates will be a good guard. You know, center and guard are very similar positions as far as blocking wise. So I'm not worried about that, even though this D-line will wreck your life, though.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I think Gates is looking forward to playing guard. Like, to be honest, like, depending on how he talked, I believe it was an interview.
It's a fun position to play.
It was an interview with Zach Rosenblatt, and, you know, he was talking about, you know, I will play literally wherever I have to play, and Nick Gates always has this notion, despite being given a contract by the Giants. He's like, no, he's no longer on a rookie deal. He was given a contract extension by the Giants, but he always has this mentality of, I could be cut any day. And it's like, dude, I don't think you're going to, but, you know, think if that's the thing that gets you to continue to work, then go for it. And that's what makes these athletes world-class athletes. But I think he enjoys playing guard the most out of all of them. And you just said it was the most fun position, right?
Yeah, out of center and guard. I mean, center is it's a stressful position. But this D-line will wreck your life. You know, you got Chase Young and Montez Sweat who are, you know, they get all the shine. But Daron Payne and Jonathan Allen are beasts on the inside. And Speaking of Nick Gates, you know, the Steelers game was probably his worst game of the year last year. His second worst was against Washington. Like this interior defensive line is no joke. And they will, you know, run some nose tackle stuff. So it's like, all right, we're going to see how, you know, maybe how Billy Price looks against like that, you know. So this D-line allows them to do different things with coverage because they can trust their guys to get there. Now, Thomas had success against Chase Young and Montez Sweat last year. But it's, you know, this is gonna be a matchup for a long time, those two. And I don't expect Andrew Thomas, even if he's a top guy, to win that matchup. Chase Young is a real deal player. You know, he's going to be an all-pro player in the NFL eventually, if not right away this year. And then Montez Sweat's a beast as well. And he's got, like, he can take advantage of guys. So this is a tough matchup for this front five. You know, I thought they did well last week. You know, Daniel Jones was the least pressured QB in the NFL on Sunday. But, like, this is a different matchup than what you're getting from Denver. Like, I would rather, you know, maybe Montez Sweat. No, Montez Sweat is an upgrade over Reed. Chase Young's probably an upgrade over Von Miller. And then you got the two inside guys are definitely upgrades over what Denver has.
Yeah, Jonathan Allen had 3 quarterback hits, a sack last week. So seeing how those two talented interior guys. Now, Grant, I'm worried about right tackle, but honestly, I am more worried about the different looks that we may be getting on the inside with the Giants offensive line, and therefore, you know, what Daniel Jones can do to manipulate the pocket if there's pressure coming up the middle. Because he did do a good job when there was pressure coming from that right side. Last week with, you know, Nate Solder, you know, you talk about the metaphor all the time about a car crash. It's an easier time to manipulate the pocket and avoid a car crash when it's happening in front of you and when you could see it versus when it's happening maybe behind you and you're blindsided and you can't see it. So,
I mean, Jones looked a lot better moving the pocket and like in a long time. And that's something that we've both agreed has been an issue from his rookie year. If there was anything from his rookie year I want him to get better at, it wasn't like, not fumbling. Obviously, you want him to not fumble, but it was like, start manipulating the pocket better. So it seems like when he can trust his blind side and Thomas and whoever's at left guard, which Nick, and maybe that is the reason they move Nick Gates to guard. It's like, we trust Nick Gates at left guard, and we'd see Jones can maneuver the stuff better when it's right in front of him.
Yeah.
That Jones can be better at that. Now, this was thrown out there, Nick Gates being put at right tackle. And I want to get your opinion on it, because I actually think Nick Gates would be the best right tackle out of Matt Parrott, Nate Solder, and him. But I want to get your opinion on it, if he can do it. Would you do that if you thought he would be the best out of those three?
I would hate it, and I don't want to do it. But if there's a point in the season where Nate Solder did not wreck, he had bad plays. Nate Solder did not wreck the Giants game last week. But if there is a certain point where Nate Solder and Matt Parrott are wrecking this season, then you have to do it. And you have to have Billy Price at center, and then Ben Bredesen, Shane Lemieux at left guard. You got to do it.
I wouldn't, because I do think he'd be better than those guys. You know, going off of what we saw in 2019 with him at tackle. But at the same time, training for tackle and guard, like, guard and center are very similar the way you train. Tackle is not. It's a totally different position. And Nick Gates was practicing at tackle. Like, he was a tackle that year. You know, he was the swing guard as well, but he was a tackle that year. Every practice, he was practicing a tackle. He hasn't practiced a tackle since then, you know? Like, you know, since the last time he played tackle was against Philly week 17 in 2019.
All right, but think about it like this. Nick Gates has taken more recent reps at tackle and right tackle, specifically right tackle, than Nate Solder did before this training camp.
I'm not debating that he would be better than Nate Solder. What I'm saying is I don't know if Nick Gates would be a good right tackle. It'd be an upgrade, but I'm not sure he would be good there. And why take a position of strength and move it into a position of average or below average?
Yeah.
You know?
But if Nate Solder and Matt Parrott are wrecking this season, and we are looking at it as in, like, we have to do something or else, you know, this Daniel Jones is in jeopardy. And if we are getting to that point where we are saying that, then I would not be upset if that did happen.
Can't believe this is a week two conversation, but like this is a, you know, like if we made up this segment in the off season, I'd be like, this is a little too gimmicky. Like, I feel like we're just making up topics, you know.
Yeah, a little too sports radio. Yeah.
Yeah. This is brutal. But anyways, offensively, game plan stuff. Washington is another team that's trying to stop you from getting, you know what? I'm kind of getting sick of that talking point though, because the entire NFL is getting to that. Like, they're trying to stop you from getting big plays.
Yes. I mean, Bob, what have I not? I mean, obviously, you know, Giants coaching staff isn't listening to me. But, you know, I've said it for 2 years now, and I feel really bad for repeating myself. I really do. I wish I could come up with something different. The NFL is a league of producing explosive plays on the offense side of the ball. It's a league of stopping explosive plays on the defense side of the ball. The best defenses in the NFL stop the explosive play. The best offense in the NFL produce it. So, guess what the key is? It's to rise above that. That's the key.
I agree. The Giants, they ran way more too high last week than they did last year, and I think they're going to get away from that. I don't think they're necessarily going to get away from man coverage, but I do think they're going to get away from running too high safeties.
Running too high or single high?
Too high. They ran a lot of too high on Sunday.
Okay. They also, I mean, I also thought they ran more single high than they did last year, too.
Yeah, but at the same time, they didn't, not more than they did last year, but the Rams ran the most too high safety looks in 2020. What do you think the percentage was?
I'm going to say 67%.
45%.
I was a little off.
So I think the Giants are going to get back to that. But offense, like last week, Keenan Allen had, you know, 9 catches for 100 yards, and Kenny Golladay is not as good as Keenan Allen. And Mike Williams, 8 for 82 and a touchdown. So there's big plays to be made. I mean, if you look back at them last year, their D-line was still really good. You had an Austin Mack 50-yard play in that. So there you can get stuff downfield,
yeah.
You know, and guess what? What does Denver try to do and do better than a lot of these teams? Like, you know, they run the too high, stop big plays. I mean, I brought up the stats and I could pull them up. Daniel Jones in quarters 1 through 3, so not including garbage time, on the downfield concepts where there's two routes that are designed to go 15 plus yards, not just not going deep, but just routes that are designed that way. He was 6 for 6, averaging over 20 yards per attempt in the touchdown. On the other plays, he was 12 for 24. And he was averaging like 2 yards per attempt, or he might have been 6 for 12. I can't remember, but it was very low. And it's kind of something we've been preaching for a long time. I pointed out that Colt McCoy did better that way. I mean, and I guess we can talk about Jason Garrett, man. I am deflated. I really am, man. And you're seeing people from the outside pointed out too. I am really deflated that Jason Garrett's the OC. You know, he was the guy last year. I never called for him to be fired midseason. But the day that the season over, it was like, you guys, they should fire him. They didn't. Well, they added pieces. You know, it's continuity. You know, you add a Tony. It's like, okay, maybe there's going to change some things. They move Freddie Kitchens. And, man, it was the exact same, if not worse. I mean, it was the exact same. Like, they didn't use Kenny Golladay. And you have people from the outside looking at this and be like, what are they doing? Like, this is not what Daniel Jones is good at. And now we have numbers behind it. And now it's going to turn on Joe Judge. It's going to turn on Joe Judge, man. And this is where Joe Judge, if he can change this. I'm not giving up on this offense. I'm not. There's too much talent to give up on this offense. And it will get better. But I think with Jason Garrett as the offensive coordinator, I'm not having hope for Jason Garrett to get better. It's just that the players have to execute perfectly. You know, like Daniel Jones had plenty of mistakes on Sunday, you know, but that is our biggest issue with Jason Garrett. And a talking point is always like, well, why does everything have to be perfect around Daniel Jones? It does not. But you know what everything has to be perfect around? Jason Garrett, for Jason Garrett to succeed.
Yeah.
And that's a disgrace in today's NFL. You should be looking to get an offensive coordinator who is an advantage, making things easier for your guys. And Dan Orlovsky, like, called it out today. He's like, everything is tough. Where does the scheme make things easier for the players?
No.
And this is going to turn on Joe Judge, and rightfully so. Like, we've given Joe Judge a lot of praise, and I'm not out on Joe Judge. I know people are very reactive to week one. I'm not out on Joe Judge. But if it continues throughout this year, it's going to be hard to defend Joe Judge.
Yep. You know, and that was my fear. I said it on the mailbag, or last mailbag of the offseason. I said, that's my fear. My worst fear this year is that I'm going to turn on Joe Judge because of the offense, because of the same reason why we turned on Pat Shurmur with his defense. It's hopefully not going to come to that when it comes to Joe Judge and his offense. I believe Daniel Jones only had one incompletion when he threw further than 15 air yards on Sunday. So
it was that fourth and goal, Kenny Golladay, when they, you know, it was kind of like their.
Was that 15 air yards that he threw?
Or
that?
Not fourth and goal. It was fourth down. It was, you know, how they did the sticks on that one fourth and goal that I called out. It was the drive previous to that.
Okay. Yeah.
Remember, they just kind of threw it in the back of the end zone, and yeah. It was a bad throw by DJ.
So, yeah, there was only one incompletion when he threw the ball further than 15 air yards, and I will never understand this whole notion of, oh, is it, you know, Jason Garrett that doesn't trust Daniel Jones to do well and to throw it deep consistently? It's like, well, how can you sit back and say that when you look at the data that has been since 2019, 2020 last year, and then even, oh, you know, you still sit back and you say, well, is it Jason Garrett doesn't trust Daniel Jones? Every single attempt that he had a 15-plus air yards, which, by the way, it's not easy to complete deep balls. It's not. It should be easier to complete in the intermediate part of the game. You should have like a 70% completion rate when you're throwing it less than 10 air yards. And then when you throw over past the sticks, that's when your completion rate should be less. But for whatever strange oddball reason, Daniel Jones's completion rate is much better when he's throwing it past the sticks. So, you know, it's we're in an oddball world. But here's the optimistic side of things, Bobby. I said on Sunday, and this is even before I looked at any data. I didn't look at any data. I really didn't even look at anything. So this is eye test. This is eye test matching the analytics and the stats, which I liked. I try to do that. That's what I try to say. I said on Sunday, I thought the offense moved the ball well, and I put the percentage of 65% goes to the defense blame, 35% goes to the offense. I thought the offense moved the ball well, and the eye test does match the advanced stats, where EPA, they were exactly in the middle. Right in the middle in terms of EPA and how well they move the ball and their expected points at. And then DVOA, which that metric doesn't even come out till Wednesday, DVOA, defense value over average, they had the Giants offense ranked 11th. I truly do believe, and I'm not really a wait and see person or let's see what happens, but I'm willing to do that for this game today. I truly do believe that the Giants had more opportunities on Sunday to move the ball and score more points on Sunday that they would have done it against the Broncos. If the defense gets off the field on third down, and they have more opportunities to do it, let's see it. I do feel that they are going to put up more points against Washington on Thursday.
I would hope they put up more than 7 points or 13 in garbage time.
I'm very confident they're going to put up more than 7 points, Bobby. I'm very confident.
Well, let's move to the defense, and let's talk, you know, Washington here. Kind of the quick scouting report on their offense. Well, they got Charles Leno and Sam Cosmi at offensive tackle. That's where their weakness is on offense, is those two guys. I mean, Ryan Fitzpatrick and his 7 dropbacks last week, he had a sack, 4 pressures, and 2 hits. And that's by Pro Football Reference, who was a lot more conservative with their pressure stats.
Yep.
Tyler Heinicke had 15 dropbacks. He wasn't sacked, but he was hit twice and pressured 3 times. So not horrible, but not great either. That is their weakness, is getting to those guys. So can our edge guys, who didn't really do anything special last week, and Lorenzo Carter and Azeez and O'Shane didn't really do anything, can they get around those tackles? And can you give Leonard Williams reps doing that? Because Heinicke's the starting quarterback. He can make some plays. I think he has a pretty weak arm. And he can be inaccurate and throw the ball high. So I do think the Giants are going to kind of get back to their roots a little bit. Not abandoning man coverage, but getting more to bring in the safety down. And I think Jabril Peppers needs to play over 80% of the reps. I'm going to save that for a different segment in this show. Spoiler alert, Giant factor. And, you know, like last week, Xavier McKinney made mistakes. Like, you know, the drop by Kenny Hamler? KJ Hamler. That was on Xavier McKinney as much as it was on Adoree Jackson.
Yeah.
You know, like he bit up on the play action and didn't bail back out. And then the post was open. And that's the issue with the cover 4 too high stuff. So, you know, this offense shouldn't be good. They got Terry McLaurin. Deami didn't really do anything in week 1, but Curtis Samuel's out. So our defense should be able to have a good game against their offense.
Yeah, especially with Curtis Samuel being out and Deami not having the best of week 1s. Obviously, Terry McLaurin is going to be Terry McLaurin, and he's going to make those insane bananas catches. But I would love Patrick Graham to have those confusing looks and alter things pre-snap to post-snap. You know, go back to your roots. That's what I'm saying for this game. Go back to your roots. Don't, I now it's kind of crazy how we're saying don't get cute with man coverage and blitzing. because usually that's like the
well,
that's
you like can the, still do that stuff, and not yeah. having Curtis Samuel makes me feel a lot better about doing that compared to Jerry Judy. You know, Adam Humphries versus Judy is a two different animals.
But still, my whole thing is that don't get cute. Go to what works. Go to what works. Go to what literally got you game-winning interceptions last year against Washington, where it confused their quarterbacks. You know, go back to your roots and go back to what this secondary knows how to do. That is my ask, and that is my want. You know, if the pass rush isn't going to get home with six, then guess what? You know, it's not going to get home. You know, just rush your four guys and then play coverage on the back end. You know, and that's what happened last week. You know, and obviously it's a weaker offensive line, most likely, but I am more inclined to prioritize back end coverage than I am blitzing and hitting the quarterback. I just am, and I'm never going to change from that.
Well, and do both, you know, like I would abandon too high more than I would say just man coverage, you know,
yeah.
But also when you're in man coverage, play appropriate. Like they were playing man coverage last week and their safeties were playing like 20, 25 yards off the ball, which is like, it's kind of like a half-ass way to play man. Like you're afraid to get beat deep, but you want to play man coverage. It's like, well, man, they're going to find matchups, you know, like Jerry Judy versus Darnay Holmes or Julian Love and man coverage isn't going to work. And even James Bradbury got beat a few times, you know, Noah Fant was beating Jabril Peppers. So, you know, like you said, get back to your roots, mix stuff in, but get back to your roots. Start bringing that safety down into the box,
yeah,
and playing your game. And they're going to stick Graham's to the run as long as we don't, like, take a two-score lead. Like, Gibson had 20 carries last week.
Yeah. And they were behind for a good chunk of the game, too. It was a relatively close game. Graham's blitz rate was, like, 43% last week, which was fourth highest in the NFL. And his average blitz rate last year was, you know, when you compile the whole season, it was 25.5%. So that's almost double. So a little bit more balance. That's what we're asking for. Go back to your roots. Get back to a balanced defense. Trust Leonard Williams to get home. He had a couple QB hits. He had two pressures last week too.
Finish sacks.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. Leonard Williams is like my runner up for Giant Factor this week. I was thinking about him or the other guy that I'm going to pick. So, but Leonard Williams. Let's get that first sack of the season. Let's make it on a big moment on third down. You're muted. Good job.
Anything else you want to hit on before we go into the weather?
No, don't sleep on Taylor Heinicke. His CPOE was really good last week. It was like the fourth or the fifth best in the NFL last week and out of all quarterbacks. Don't sleep on him, but hit him a little bit, confuse him a little bit, and you know he'll look like an average quarterback. So
force him into mistakes.
Go Giants. Yes, I would love that.
And you know what? We're officially on the week two. Week one may be over, but the season's just getting started at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. To kick off week two, DraftKings is giving new customers $200 in free bets instantly when they bet $1 in any football game. Listen up, because you don't want to miss this. Head to DraftKings Sportsbook app now and place a bet of $1 on any week two game to receive $200 in free bets instantly. If Sportsbook is not available yet in your state, DraftKings still has huge cash prizes up for grabs all season long with their daily fantasy contest. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code JohnBoy to receive $200 in free bets when you place a $1 bet on any football game. That's promo code JohnBoy this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required. One per customer. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in Indiana, 1-800-9-WITH-IT. All right, let's take a break.
Come on, pay attention in there. Let's go. We got a beautiful day. Work. Play fast. Play fast. Whoa. Ah.
All right, we now welcome on Danny King for weather and trivia, question mark?
There's trivia this week. I brought the trivia back. We got it. Brought out the weather map. Last Sunday wasn't good. It was the L actually didn't go towards Denver. It went right towards East Rutherford and just made us all very depressed Giants fans on Sunday. You gotta love it. But
there was, hold on, I have a joke. I have a weather joke.
Oh, joke.
There was a tropical depression that came in. Ha, 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 mm-hmm.
I know there was a hurricane in the Giants parking lot on Sunday. It was a one-man hurricane. We all know who that was.
It was Snacks.
It was Snacks. the weather for Sunday, it's gonna be hot and humid. It's like, well, not hot, I should say. It's gonna be 74 and humid. That's hot for a football game, especially at that Washington football team stadium, FedEx Field.
It's a dump.
No one, No one like, oh, everyone get ready for the obligatory media tweets that they're going to talk about how much they hate the press box there. It happens every single year. But yeah, 74 at kickoff, humid. It's going to be have 89% humidity, winds 5 miles per hour out of the east. Feels like 75. So it's just going to be humid. So if you're going there, wear shorts. Wear some shorts. Wear some short sleeves. Looking at you, Chris. Wear shorts.
Trivia.
Trivia, trivia, what's, trivia.
74 is really nice. That sounds nice. That's like beautiful. It is that's football weather.
But it's the humidity. That might just kill the mood a little bit.
And it's just a terrible stadium. It's a terrible
stadium.
Yeah,
it's just a terrible stadium.
I need to get to Washington. I almost went there on the Thanksgiving game, the game before Eli got benched because tickets were like $5.
You would love it.
That was a game we thought about going to, but obviously we didn't. And honestly, it wasn't for the worst. All right, so the Giants have won the previous two season series against Washington. Now, my question for you guys is, when was the last time the Washington football team won the season series against the Giants?
So, 2-0?
They swept the season series.
Was it the 3-13 year? 2017?
Justin, do you have an answer?
Yeah, that's my guess, too. 2017.
That is not the answer.
Beat the Broncos, Chiefs.
That is not the answer. Do we want to give the answer now? Do you want one more guess?
No, you know what? Maybe I'm going to say 2013.
Bobby, you sick of
No, 2013, I remember we split because that was the RG3 year. No. I don't know. No, I don't know. I don't know.
That's a good question.
According to my research, the answer was 2011. 2011, the Washington football team beat the Giants 23-10 in the first meeting and then 28-14 in the second meeting. Now, follow-up question, when was the last time they swept the Giants before that date? Like, just swept them 2-0.
04,
Bobby?
I don't know.
1999.
Wow.
Was the last time the Washington football team swept the Giants before the 2011 season. There you go. Look at that trivia fact. I couldn't remember any of the trivia questions from last year, so I was like, let's go season series. No way I did that one.
We play them well.
We do. That's the one team we usually do.
And we play a different QB every time. Who's like last time was Alex Smith. Before that was Kyle Allen. Before that it was Dwayne Haskins. Before that it was Case Keenum. Before that it was Mark Sanchez and Josh Johnson. Before that, was it Alex Smith again, maybe? And then before that, I don't even... Kirk Cousins, I guess? Yeah. So.
I forgot we took Kyle Allen's ankle. I forgot about that.
We break everyone's ankles. Like, I thought we broke Jerry Jeudy's ankle. Like, I really... Like, that looked like his ankle broke. But,
yeah, the fact that was just a sprain is beyond me.
And I hate watching that type of stuff.
And they had to challenge it as well. They're like, oh, yeah, he was down.
All right, so let's do our fantasy draft. If this is your first time listening to a preview, we do a fantasy draft of players only from the Giants game. Good way to preview matchups, and we keep score. Funny enough, we always joke about how it's like, you know, we pick 12 players from one game, and then it's the players we don't pick that score. Well, literally two of the touchdowns last week we didn't pick, and we didn't pick Melvin Gordon, which seems really dumb looking back at it, but I think we were just so high on the Giants. We're like, we're taking our backup wide receivers before we're taking their backup running back, even though he's their starter, and their backup tight end, who was like, we don't even know how to pronounce his name, scored a touchdown. So I will be going first. I had the worst scoring matchup last week with 27 points. I'm 15 points back. Justin will be going third and snaking back with 30 points. And then Danny won the week with 43 points, even though his second overall pick with Kyle Rudolph was a horrible pick.
I just had to make it clear. Danny was first. Okay, shocking. Had to make clear.
You started off first last year, didn't win, and I'm winning this year. All right, so I had the first pick this week.
Damn.
And you know what? I'm going with the guy who won Danny the game last week. And Washington, it's like, who on that Washington team is going to give you like a solid outing guaranteed? Like maybe McLaurin, but you know what? Maybe they really focus on shutting down McLaurin. Sterling Shepard. Sterling Shepard's getting touches no matter what on this Giants offense. You could see Kenny Galladay not getting involved because Jason Garrett's an asshole. You could see Saquon not having a good game. But Sterling Shepard is going to, he's the consistent, and I want to win this week, and I'm going to just take the consistent pick. I am going Sterling Shepard 1-1.
We made the mistake last week. We overthinked it too much, and so we just got to get back to basics.
We didn't overthink it. You
picked Kyle Rudolph.
Okay, sorry. All right, fine. I might have overthinked it and thought Kyle Rudolph would have been the game changer. Okay, big deal.
Who looks really bad, by the way, Kyle Rudolph.
Oh, he looks so bad. I'm just going to take Terry McLaurin. Saquon, don't trust him. Kenny Galladay. I legitimately thought Kenny Galladay was a Giant until the fourth quarter when Daniel Jones was like, oh, let me throw it to our million-dollar wide receiver, so just give me Terry. He's going to get points. And, I mean, James Bradbury didn't look anything special. I'm not saying James Bradbury's going to be terrible this year, but he just didn't look anything special. So just give me Terry.
Bradbury will be fine, but Terry McLaurin is he's gonna get his in this game. So I like it. All right, Justin, you got back to back picks.
Yeah, I'm gonna do Antonio Gibson because he's guaranteed some volume. I think Washington showed that last week. We talked about that kind of like in the early part, where even though Washington was losing and the game was pretty close, they were still giving Gibson some carries. And he's also good, if we're doing PPR, he's also a good receiver too. So that's noteworthy too.
Where was he on your big board?
I don't really make a big board, Bobby.
My first round was, it went 1-3-2. I had Gibson third and McLaurin second.
There you go. So I was hoping Terry would fall for whatever reason, but that didn't make sense. And then I'm going to go with Kenny Galladay. I mean, come on. Like, you know, you got the criticism. You got the criticism last week of, oh, you didn't use your $17 million wide receiver, and the one time they used him in a contested catch situation in garbage time, it actually worked. So, come on, let's get Kenny Galladay involved. Let's use some vertical routes down the field. Same thing with, like, Darius Slayton, too, and the one time that they did that, that worked. So, come on, let's start to use the guys that we actually got here. So, Kenny Galladay and Antonio Gibson are going to start my draft.
I thought about starting with Kenny Galladay for all those reasons. Like, they're going to have to involve him more this week. But I was like, you know what? I went safe bet, and I usually try and go for the home run. But Shepard is the safest bet in any fantasy draft class. So I thought about it because Galladay could have, like, his coming out party as a Giant. Washington has decent corners in Fuller and Jackson, but, like, nothing special. So Galladay's a good pick. All right, Danny, your second pick, fifth overall.
Gonna be a bad guy here. I'm gonna take Logan Thomas. Noah Fant did good against the Giants defense last week. I'm a big Logan Thomas believer, and Taylor Heineke. That's gonna be someone he can use in that short and intermediate pass game. And Logan Thomas can easily bust open some big plays for that Washington football team. So give me Logan Thomas. Also, I'm afraid of Taylor Heineke starting because I believe he's just a complete wild card. You can either get the greatest quarterback of all time or the worst, and I think we kind of saw that in that Bucs game. So give me Logan Thomas.
I think Logan Thomas is not that good of a tight end, but he just always puts up consistent numbers. And I think it has a little bit to do with Scott Turner's scheme, which I like Scott Turner a decent amount. When he's not too new age, he does try to keep his offenses balanced. But yeah, Logan Thomas is a good pick. But here I am with, I had the first overall pick, which means I have the last pick of the second round. And who would have thought that this guy is still on the board? And I know it wasn't a good week one. I know it wasn't a good return. But at some point, he's going to have to make some plays, right? Saquon Barkley, I am picking with my last pick in the second. I mean, he's our starting running back. He got 10 carries last week. Had 3 targets. Only 1 catch. And if Daniel Jones doesn't stare him down in the end zone, he maybe has a receiving touchdown. Like, I actually like that play call from Garrett, and Jones just, stared him down, and that allowed the corner to come off Slayton and make the play. So I am going Saquon with this pick. Next, do I go Giant, Giant, Giant? I feel like that's kind of dangerous, but I don't trust really anyone on Washington's squad. I'm going to go Darius Slayton. He's a starting wide receiver for us. You know, he had, 3 catches for whatever, 50-something yards last week. Or maybe even 60. I'm going Darius Slayton. He's a starting wide receiver. I'm going Darius Slayton. I just repeated the same thing like 3 times in a row.
It's a good pick.
Yeah, after this, it gets kind of ugly. I don't really know who I want to pick here.
My board is chalked, though. Like, we've picked 7 guys, and my top 7 on my big board are off the board.
So, I mean, I'm not taking Rudolph. I'm not overthinking again this week because he did nothing last week.
Kadarius Toney, really, really slow.
He looked awful. Kadarius Toney's not going to probably do anything. Or maybe they want to get him involved. I don't know. I'm probably just going to end up taking...
They'll get him involved. They'll be like, here, come in 2 plays. We're going to defense, we're giving Kadarius Toney the ball.
Yeah. Brown's out, right? That's the rumor? Or is that confirmed he's out?
Deami Brown?
Yeah, Deami Brown. Is he
I
out?
Don't
or am
think
I,
so.
Am I crazy?
I saw their injury report.
Who was on the... I'm confused. Might be losing my mind. But so if he is there, which I believe I might be going crazy, give me a Brown. I just feel like he can give me some points. And there's no one else on the Giants that right now I can believe in. Kadarius Toney had like 5 plays and it was just negative. So just give me Brown.
I wanted Deami Brown my last pick because he was my guy in the draft. He had a bad week. Think about this. Kadarius Toney, Elijah Moore, and De'Ami Brown. Three rookie wide receivers that a lot of people like. What do you think their total yards combined were?
Man, his total yardage?
They had four catches combined.
Four?
The three of those guys together had negative 8 yards. They all had negative yardage.
What?
That's funny.
That's so stupid. So De'Ami, he was next to my big board. All right, Justin, you got last two picks.
All right, I'm going to go Adam Humphries simply because he got two catches last week and he got some volume. And if, you know, if there is questions around De'Ami Brown, then sure, Adam Humphries, you're going to be the guy. He did have more catches than De'Ami Brown last week. And
he's going to attack us in the slot, too.
I got to go I got to go with the Giant. I'm going to go Kadarius Toney just for shits and gigs.
Damn it, Justin.
Yeah, Humphries was a good pick there. You know, he's you know, with Curtis Samuel out, De'Ami, we don't know what his involvement is going to be, and the Giants' nickel spot right now being a team that's part of teams are going to attack. Humphries is a good pick. Toney's is just a total wild card. But I guess that's what the fourth round is for. All right, Danny, last pick.
I don't know why I thought Brown was out. I'm just losing my mind. Just give me J.D. McKissic. He had 20 carries. I feel like he can maybe break one for a decent bit against the Giants, so give me J.D.
He was top five in receiving yards last year amongst running backs. So,
oh,
but they didn't really use him at all last week, though. He had one,
no, they didn't.
One carry, zero catches. Even Jared Patterson, who we talked about in our draft previews, he only got one carry, but he was a rookie. All right,
that's just so sad that that's where I was at. I chose some guy that had one carry over literally anyone else.
No, but I mean that's smart. I mean you didn't know it, but you know a guy that led that was top five in receiving yards last year against receiving
big
yards against running backs. It was a big brain move. That's right. I was thinking
big
about
brain
him.
Move.
I was thinking about him. So,
all right. So next up on this is my last pick. Next up on my big board would be Devontae Booker. But they showed last week that Devontae Booker is not going to get touches down near their goal line. I don't expect him to get any big plays. So I'm not going Booker. Like, I want my last pick to be a splash. Do I go Kate? I'm not going Kyle Rudolph. I'm not ever even considering Kyle Rudolph until I see him make a catch over 10 yards. He looked really bad. So I can either go Caden Smith or Cam Sims. I almost want the chat to decide for me. Caden Smith or Cam Sims. What would you guys pick? And be honest, because it's not going to have any effect on me. I just want to hear your guys' opinion.
Caden Smith for who you said?
Cam Sims.
Cam Sims.
There's just no
Cam
trust.
Cam Sims, he scored a touchdown versus us last year.
Yeah, there's just no trust in this Giants offense to involve.
Honestly, this would, if there was a week to take Booker, it's this week just based off the fact it's a short week and how much are they going to push Saquon. Obviously, it depends how he feels. But this would be the week to take Booker. But obviously, he only got me 2 points last week.
I'm going to go Sims. I just don't want to have my fantasy team be all Giants. And it's like, are you on crack? All right, I'm going to go Cam Sims. So to recap, I have Sterling Shepard, Saquon Barkley, Darius Slayton, and Cam Sims. Danny, you have Terry McLaurin, Logan Thomas, De'Ami Brown, and Jason. You have all Washington, Danny, J.D. McKissic. So we can see who you're rooting for. Justin has Antonio Gibson, Kenny Galladay, Adam Humphries, and Kadarius Toney. By the way, Justin, a little tip for the fantasy drafts to pander to our listeners. When you have back-to-back picks, always pick the Giant first because it makes you seem like you believe in the Giant more than the Washington.
Oh, that is true. It's a good tidbit. Thank you.
It's like if anytime I'm in the snake, I always pick the Giant first because it's just great pander material.
Yeah.
All right. It's time for Giant Factors. I get to go first this week. And I'm going to go out with a guy who's been getting a little slander this week. And he's going to be pissed off this week too. Want to know why? One, he didn't have a great game week one. He only played 50% of the reps. I'm going with Jabril Peppers. One, Pep always plays good against Washington. Both his interceptions as Giants have been versus Washington. He gets sacks versus Washington. He gets tackles for a loss versus Washington. But if I'm Jabril Peppers, I am pissed off this week. Not only my coaching staff, but now on the outside, it's like, oh, Jabril Peppers is just an average safety. Get the hell out of here. Justin, where was Jabril Peppers for pass breakups as a strong safety last year?
Number one in the NFL.
Where was he for tackles for a loss as strong safeties? Second, only to Jamal Adams. Had 3 sacks. This guy is a playmaker, and I do not like the slander for him. And it happened last year when he gave up a touchdown versus Boston Scott in that Philly game. Like, oh, Peppers isn't anything special. Like, bull crap. He was put in bad situations versus a very athletic, you know, a top 10 tight end, top 10 pick in Noah Fant with man coverage with no help. Like, I'm sorry, not many safeties are going to win in that in that situation. So don't put him in those situations again. And I'm going Jabril Peppers to make plays, to make sacks, tackles for a loss, and hell, even maybe an interception. He's going to play pissed off this week against the world. I know he has that me versus the world mindset. Jabril Peppers is my giant factor for week 2 versus Washington.
Love it. He had some key pass deflections last year against Logan Thomas in the middle of the field. I mean, really, that Washington game, that first Washington game that we had last year, that was like almost his coming out party after playing kind of bad again. Well, you know, I don't want to say played bad against Boston Scott, but he had that play where he had that allowed that touchdown, and it was just an insane throw, insane catch. And that was really his coming out party, where we wanted to challenge Jabril Peppers to be a playmaker and not just be good, you know, kind of like in the old 22, but be a playmaker where we can see it on Sunday. And that was his coming out party against Washington, in Washington.
Clearly win the battle versus Logan Thomas. That's my challenge to you this week, Jabril Peppers. All right, Danny, who's your giant factor?
I mean, this might seem like a cop-out, but there's only one clear... Like, the same thing with Jabril Peppers, like, the whole talk against him. I mean, it's Daniel Jones. I mean, like, it's just insane the talk that has happened against him this week. And all, it's all warranted. We had the fumble. I mean, obviously, didn't play as bad, but, like, that fumble is what stands out in people's mind. I mean, we got, like, Zach Rosenblatt wrote a good article. Like, he went through past press conferences of Daniel Jones and just listed, like, what he said about turnovers and Daniel Jones saying, like, oh, I gotta get better. I highly recommend that article for anyone who hasn't read it. But Daniel Jones has to get better with not turning over the ball. And he did that again last week. It cost the Giants the drive. It turned momentum for Denver's favor. Just put together a solid game. Don't make stupid mistakes. And I'm still not over that ball he threw in the triple coverage against Denver last week. That still blows my mind. But just play a consistent game of football. Don't cost your team the game. Silence the doubters for a week. And just prove that you can be the quarterback of this team for one game. I don't care if it's Washington. I don't care if it's whoever it is. Just please prove you're worth the investment the Giants had in you. And just do something, Daniel. Make us feel good for a longer week heading into week 3.
4-0 versus Washington. Go 5-0. Own that team, Daniel Jones. All right, Justin, who is your giant factor?
Speaking of owning the Washington football team, Saquon Barkley's last two games that he has played in FedEx Field in Washington. 2018, in a 40-16 win, he had 14 carries, 170 yards, and a touchdown. He also had 4 receptions for 27 yards. 2019, at Washington, in a 41-35 exciting win, 22 attempts, 189 rushing yards, 1 touchdown, and a total of 4 receptions for 90 yards and a touchdown as well. Saquon Barkley, I think your favorite stadium to play in as an NFL pro is FedEx Field. I certainly think that is true. His two best games as a pro, in terms of the two games that he has rushed the most yards in, 189 yards and 170 yards, and I am confirming that right now because I'm looking at his game log and Pro Football Reference, those are his two best rushing games of his entire career. I'm getting a little doubt about Saquon Barkley. I am not liking the time that's spent behind the line of scrimmage. I am not liking the efficiency metrics. It is week 1. You were working your way back from an injury, so I'm giving that pass to you. But even if it's in limited opportunities, in that Washington game in 2018, you got 14 carries. You got a little bit more in 2019. But you are a guy that can make damage and can do damage with limited work. Go out there and do it. At least be efficient. Maybe give me a play of 10 to 15 yards and get fans kind of back in your corner. Because even though the run blocking maybe is not that great, you are expected to do more with that number 2 draft pick label. So go out there and do it, young guy. Young guy? That was weird.
Yeah, he's older than you. Is he?
No.
How old is Saquon?
He's around, I think we're around the same age.
Well, he has a kid. So anyone that has a kid, I just is older than Justin and Danny.
Oh, I forgot he had a kid. They had it right before the draft.
All right, Justin, read the ad.
Yeah, that Giant Factor segment was sponsored by Sports Management Worldwide. They are the global leaders in online business sports education. They teach people how to work on the business side of sports. All their classes are taught by industry professionals. Your mentors have been in the game you want to work in and have done the jobs you want to do. I guarantee SMWW recognizes the importance of explosive plays, unlike Jason Garrett and the Giants. They have graduates that work for all 32 NFL teams, including Patrick Hanscom, who's an area scout for the Giants. Patrick Hanscom definitely does believe in explosive plays. SMWW, they can train you to be an agent, a scout, work in the front office, and work with film using digital video editing tools like XOS Thunder, That is used by all 32 teams. Learn from people like former Tampa Bay GM Mark Domenech, football analytics gurus Aaron Schatz, and Mike Trainer of Football Outsiders. I love me some Football Outsiders. I have a subscription. Football player development from former NFL coach Steve Fairchild. Learn the skills and knowledge you need to work in football at all levels and turn your dream into reality. And they may not be able to teach again. They have here on the ad read that you may not be able to teach Danny Dimes to finish off an 80-yard run, but I'm going to change it. They may not be able to teach Jason Garrett the value of letting Daniel Jones throw down the field, but they could teach you how to work in football. So apply free at smww.com and use the discount code GIANTS for $50 off of the course of your choice. They offer courses in football, baseball, basketball, soccer, and so much more. If you have always dreamed of a job working in sports, Sports Management Worldwide can help you from sports betting to esports, sports broadcasting. Hey, maybe I should take a course. I'm calling a high school game this weekend. They have the what you know and who you know to get you in the game that you love. Thank you to SMWW. $50 off the first course of your choice with the code GIANTS.
I think they could teach Jason Garrett. Maybe Jason Garrett should take a course there. I believe in SMWW. They could teach Jason Garrett. All right, Pick'em. Now, I kind of hate this change, but it's necessary because our Pick'em was becoming... It's just hard to not pick the favorites. And then if you're not, you're trying to be different and making picks that you're not believing. So... we are incorporating the spread, which I hate because it just makes it so much more complicated, but we are incorporating the spread. So week one wasn't with the spread. Me and Danny went 7-1. Justin, the listeners, went 4-4. The listeners this week are represented by Ben Butler of the UK. First game, we got Saints at Panthers. Panthers +3 at home. The listeners are going Saints -3. I'm going the Panthers +3. I think the Panthers are going to win this game. But if they lose, they'll lose by 2. So I'm going Panthers +3. Danny, do you know how the spreads work? Because I had to kind of explain it to Justin.
You kind of did. But here's what I'm going to do. I'm picking the Saints to win. However, I believe it'll be closer with 3 points. So how does that go saying again?
Then you would say Panthers +3, but I have the Saints winning the game.
Okay, I got Panthers +3, but I do have the Saints winning.
Okay. Justin.
Panthers +3.
Ooh, we're agreeing on something with the spread.
First pick of the spread, we're all agreeing.
I'm going to tell you something about the listeners' picks at the end, but I'll wait for the end. We got Rams at Colts. Rams are an underdog or a favorite on the road. The Colts have +4. The listeners go pick the Rams -4. I'm not all in on the Rams hype yet. And I think the Colts are going to have something game that planned up for them. I am going with the home dog in the Colts. Colts +4. But the Rams will win by 3 points. It's Colts +4. Justin, who do you got?
Yeah, I'm going to go Rams -4. I mean, Matt Stafford's spray chart in terms of NFL Next Gen was really, really fun. Had some huge explosive plays. It was probably the most fun spray chart to look at from over the weekend in terms of how he kind of distributed the ball. So I'm going to go Rams -4.
Danny.
Give me the Rams. The Rams -4. Yes, Rams -4.
Next we have Bills at Dolphins. Dolphins are underdogs at home. They have +3. Listeners went Bills -3. I am also going Bills -3. I think the Bills are just going to win this game. I think they're going to win by a couple touchdowns. I got the Bills in this game. Danny.
Yeah, just give me the Bills -3.
Dude, has anyone circled the wagons like them?
No one. I think there's scientific evidence that it's physically impossible to circle the wagons like the Buffalo Bills. It's just not possible. I mean, you can try your hardest, but you're just gonna fail. It's just impossible.
Justin.
Yeah, I think the Bills are too good to have two duds of a game back to back. And I'm not fully believing in Tua hype yet. So, give me Bills -3.
Raiders at Steelers. Big Raiders game win on Monday night, which was just chaotic. By the way, the Eli Payton is great. Really is. It started off kind of bumpy, and I didn't think it was going to be good going into it. I was like, they're going to try and just be funny the entire time. They're going to be gimmicky. But they really, it's awesome. It's honestly the best way to watch football if your team's not playing in the game. Justin, who do you have in this one?
So Steelers are big home favorites, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going Raiders. Raiders +6.
Danny?
I'm going Raiders to win. Raiders are winning this game. I feel like they're going to win this game. And so that means, I guess, they're going to have to... Yeah, so just give me the Raiders, whatever that means.
Well, they're plus six, so even if they lost by five, you would pick them, but you're picking them to win, so it's definitely...
I'm picking them to win. Bam. Picking them outright.
I'm kind of in on... I'm back in on the Steelers. I know they kind of sputtered out at the end of last year, but they're a good team with a ton of talent. And the Raiders are, like, the most inconsistent team in the NFL. Like, one week you think they can, you know, challenge the Chiefs, and the other week it's like, this team is dog crap. The Steelers are consistent. I'm going Steelers minus six. Vikings at Cardinals. Cardinals are favored by four minus four. Listeners went Steelers minus six. The listeners go Cardinals minus four. Danny, who do you have in this one?
I got the Cardinals winning, but I'm the Vikings are going to keep it close.
So Vikings plus four?
Yeah.
Justin?
I think Cardinals are going to win big. I'm getting kind of really frustrated with the Vikings. Vikings are a team every year that I want to believe in. That loss last week to Cincinnati, when Cincinnati does not have that great of a roster. I mean, they did nothing to improve their offensive line, and Mike Zimmer's a defensive coach, and they got screwed. The Vikings got screwed last year with all their opt-outs, and the fact that they come out week one with such a dud and they lose to the Bengals, and the Cardinals and Kyler Murray is really scary good right now. So give me Cardinals minus four.
I'm going to keep it honest for a second. I completely forgot the Vikings lost last week. I'm not changing the pick. I'm sticking with it. That's on me, but I completely
Once I write it down, lost. It's done anyway.
No, yeah.
I'm kind of – the Vikings are going down. Like, I think it's going to be a bad – they're going to blow it up at the end of this year.
It's so upsetting. Really is.
Chandler Jones is dominant. And I don't want to overreact to one game. He had five sacks, like tackles for a loss, strip sacks. I mean, it was the most dominant performance I've seen in a long time for a defensive player. So, Kyler usually starts the season out hot, and teams seem to adjust to him a little bit. But with that, I mean, I'm out on the Vikings. I'm kind of in on the Cardinals as a wild card team this year, so I'm going Cardinals minus four. Titans, who the Cardinals beat at the Seahawks. Seahawks are favored by 5.5, minus 5.5. Listeners go minus 5.5. The Titans are not going to crap the bed 2 weeks in a row. I'm going Titans plus 5.5. Titans, it's a bad defense in Seattle. They're going to take advantage of that. I'm going Titans plus 5.5. Justin.
Yeah, I'm with you. This is probably the most shocking line this week. I would say the Raiders minus Steelers minus six is a little shocking too. But yeah, there's no way the Titans are getting beat like that 2 weeks in a row. So give me Titans plus 5.5.
I love the Titans. Yeah, give me the Titans 5.5.
Cowboys at Chargers. Chargers are favored by 3 at home. Listeners went with Chargers. I'm going Chargers as well. DeMarcus Lawrence out, who looked like their best player last week.
I want to be different, so I'm going to do it. Give me Cowboys. Cowboys minus 3.
This is the game you chose to be different on?
Cowboys plus 3, excuse me.
Division rival.
Do you think they're going to win the game?
I think they're going to win the game. I do. I don't. Justin Herbert really struggled on early downs last week. He was really good on third down. I mean, it was crazy. If you look at the Chargers' third down efficiency rate overall, like, you know, versus for... What do they call that? Third down conversion rate. Thank you, Justin. If they look at their conversion rate, it was really bananas, but their early down efficiency wasn't that great, and they probably should have scored more points against Washington if, you know, if we're looking at just overall expectations for the Chargers. Bobby Skinner is sneezing in the background, and it's one of my favorite things in the world. I think the Cowboys are going to win. They actually play the Buccaneers really well, and if they can clean up a lot of their turnovers, you know, and their penalties, they can easily put together a good product.
Danny.
I'm going to pick should have been New York Giants quarterback Justin Herbert and the Chargers to defeat the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, Chargers minus 3 for Danny. And last one, Chiefs at Baltimore plus 3. I want to be in on Baltimore, but the Chiefs just own them, and the Baltimore came off. So I'm going Chiefs minus 3. The listeners also went Chiefs minus 3. All right, what are you guys doing? We're going to be streaming for this game, by the way, on the Talking Football channel.
This is a Sunday night, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, just Chiefs are just going to win. Like, yeah, like you said, they always own Baltimore, it feels like. We hype this game up, and Patrick Mahomes is probably going to, yeah, so Chiefs minus 3.
Yeah, Baltimore struggling with their health, with a lot of the guys not being healthy, and Lamar Jackson didn't look as wonderful as good as I thought he would be as a passer, so Chiefs.
Is Chiefs Ravens modern-day Patriots-Colts, with the Colts being the Ravens and the Chiefs Ooh. Being the Patriots?
No.
I mean, Peyton, it was like, oh, he can't win the playoffs. I mean, Lamar actually won in the playoffs quicker than Peyton did.
I think it's going to eventually turn into Mahomes and Herbert.
Yeah, that's a divisional rival, but yeah, I get what you're saying. All right, so
here's
what I noticed about Ben Butler for his representing the listeners. He picked a favorite in every single one.
Okay.
Everyone minus, which is...
That's fine.
I just thought that was interesting. All right, game predictions. What? Danny, what's the score of Giants-Washington?
You see this behind me? This is a lovely event that took place in Washington on Sunday. That they're just, it was just, it broke over some poor innocent fans. Unbelievable. It's a sign of the stadium.
Innocent fans, they're Washington fans.
That is true. They are Washington fans. It's a sign of how bad the stadium is. I think it's going to be a sign of what this game's going to be. I'm going to be honest. I'm feeling like a Justin this week. I'm picking the Giants to lose this game. I just can't pick them after what I saw last week.
Oh, no.
It's too hard for me. I want them to win because I want to, when I'm going to week three, I want to feel good about going to see this team. But right now, I don't. Giants are going to lose. 24-13.
Justin.
Giants are going to win. I think they're going to have more opportunities on the offense side of the ball. And I'm going to pick them to win 27-20.
27, that's the most points the offense scored last year.
You know what? And that's, I'm feeling good. I am.
I'm not feeling good. And I will feel really bad if this team ends up 0-2. Do not go 0-2. And if they go 0-2 and the offense looks similar, we're going to be calling for some stuff. We're going to be calling for some stuff.
Yep.
I'm serious, man. Don't do it, Giants. Win this game. Treat this like a must win. Now, we had the Falcons, who might be the worst team in the league in week three. Get to an opportunity where you can be 2-1. Giants 77, Washington 0. We appreciate you guys. We'll be back with a podcast Friday morning out for you on YouTube Friday morning. So we'll see you then. We appreciate you guys. Until then, let's go Big Blue.